Well, I do want to thank you for coming. You're here because you want to hear what dealing with these life-enslaving sins. I like the term life-enslaving sins because life-dominating almost infers a person's an unbeliever totally because you don't have the power to deal with anything. Life-enslaving can be voluntarily done. Life-enslaving sins. Let's start with, we want to minister to the whole person. We don't want to just see a sin. We want to see the whole person. We want to see them in the area of the physical struggles that they're having as well as the spiritual. We are the inner and outer man. We're a whole person. And when I'm trying to interview or get the data with someone who's been struggling with something and it's habitual in their life, it's enslaved them. Now, I want to ask a lot of questions to know what's affecting what. Is there anything in the physical that may be affecting them spiritually? Not determining them, but affecting them. Is there anything spiritual that's affecting them physically? So these are questions I'm trying to get data before I start moving ahead into interpretation. To do this, there are physical issues and there are spiritual issues. And sometimes, depending on if it's an enslaving sin of alcohol or drugs, you've got physical effects that are also occurring. And I think maybe a chart that may help you, at least it helps me, I hope it's helpful for you. You take the physical, spiritual. This is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it's verse 16, where you have the outer man and the inner man. The spiritual, the physical. And there are spiritual things that can affect an individual physically, issues. There are physical issues that can have bearing and effect on you spiritually. Some of the things physically I would be asking about when people are having struggles, sometimes even called mentally ill, sometimes they're classified as crazy, all kinds of things are going on in their life. You're looking for these kind of things, these issues physically that can have a cause or an effect like this. Brain trauma, diet, what people eat or don't eat, hypoglycemia. You can look just like a depressed individual pretty fast when the blood sugar goes down. Hypothyroid problems. Tumor, cancer issues. I mean, I just go back to that one. I have a nephew who just last week, he'd been complaining about headaches for some time. Early last week, he had blurred vision. He went in for a checkup and did a CAT scan, and he has a tumor right in the center of his brain, putting pressure on his optic nerves. What's going on physically that could have an effect on someone spiritually? Sleep deprivation. It's easy to sin when you're tired. Let me say that again. It's really easy to sin when you're tired. And if you're sick, it's easy to sin. It's easier to sin. And if those here are tired and sick, maybe find another seat. Drugs, legal, illegal, and side effects of drugs can have a bearing on how an individual is even responding spiritually. It makes it harder on them. It doesn't make them sin, but it can make them, it provides almost an access where it's easier to slide into sin. Mental retardation, autism, the whole spectrum there. Epilepsy, other diseases. It's just what's happening physically. And I'm not a doctor, but I would want them to have some good checkups to where they're testing for things to see if there's anything physical that they know of that could have bearing on them spiritually. Now let's go to spiritual issues. Some people can fake problems. David did. With the king of Gath. he faked it. And it was a pretty good show that the king said, leave him alone. This was the enemy of the Philistines. So you have camouflage living, God's discipline and judgment on people. Nebuchadnezzar was crawling around in the backyard, right? The lawnmower, the human lawnmower. I mean, he was eating. You think, boy, this person's really... That was a judgment of God on his life. You have sickness of people. In 1 Corinthians 11, some were sick, some died for partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Demonic, especially in the area of unbelievers. More and more in the kingdom of darkness, they're toying with this. I mean, if you see some of the music, some of the stuff that people get into, very, very dark. And you wonder, if they're an unbeliever, what have they delved into? False worship. False worship alone. I mean, Ecclesiastes 9 tells us insanity is in the heart of man. Insanity is in the heart of man. False worship, you can do some pretty bizarre things in false worship. You can offer up children to a false god. Right? Didn't they do that to Moloch? Babies? You can cut yourself and blood gushes out. Isn't that what the prophets of Baal were doing to get the attention of Baal? False worship, a lot of distorted living can take place when you're worshiping false gods. And then guilt. Just guilt can make a person not sleep well, wrestle, want to withdraw from people. We see that in Psalm 32 with King David. So physical, spiritual issues. Just when you're getting information and data, you really want to get what's going on here with this person as best as possible. Now, God sometimes in the scriptures uses labels. And when he uses a label, it is for a habitual activity in someone's life. And in your notes there, you have some verses at the bottom. The fool. A fool is a label on an individual who habitually says in their heart, there is no God. In Psalm 10, verse 4, all their thoughts are, there's no God, and it's wicked continually. A fool is habitually unteachable. Now, we all act foolishly from time to time, but don't call someone a fool unless it's the habit of their life. The same with a good man. A good man does not mean a perfect man. It does not mean a sinless man. It means the habitual activity of his life, he's following the principles of Scripture. He's a good man. Because no one's good but God. So he's following the biblical principles by the grace of God. Same with a wise son. I mean, all these are labels. 1 Corinthians 5 gives us labels such as immoral person, or covetous, or idolater. Let me just mention something about idolatry. This is a little side note. We teach from the scriptures about worship from the heart, because it's right there in the scriptures. We also teach that you can get involved in worshiping some idolatrous lusts as a Christian. What you dare not say to a Christian is you are an idolater. You can get involved in some idolatry, worshiping God and something else, lusts. But an idolater is right here, habitual activity of worshiping false gods, and no idolater inherits the kingdom of heaven. Don't call a Christian an idolater. Do you follow that? You can't use that label. King David was not an adulterer. He was not a murderer. He committed murder, he committed adultery, but that was not the habitual activity of his life. The habitual activity of David's life was praising God and worshiping him. He was a man after God's own heart.